Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial. This is a big one, a very big one. This one is for you, Larry. I'm talking right now to Dr. Charles Page. He's got some interesting opinions about medicine. He's got some interesting opinions about hospital. I asked him when we were talking off mic if he would mind talking about this on mic, and he said, no, I'm happy to do that. What's your opinion about what's going on in hospitals right now, Chuck?
So hospitals and medicine in general are in big trouble. And I'm not an alarmist, you know, but it's the worst I've ever seen it. So I've been practicing medicine and surgery for, you know, almost 25 years now, counting residency, and it's really scary.
Yeah. Why?
Well, the first thing, you know, one of the basic premises of medicine is based on a doctor-patient relationship.
Correct.
You know, and that relationship is something that is carried on through the course of a patient's disease process. And so what has happened over the past probably 10 years is just a disconnect. I mean, so many things have gotten in the way of doctors and patients together as a team making decisions about their health. And, you know, of course, the government has got into that, and the insurance companies, just so many things that have kind of gotten in the way of that relationship. There's no continuity of care anymore. And that's one of the biggest things that happens in the hospital, Al, is that when you go to the hospital, every day you see a new provider. So, you know, think about it. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, you got sick, you go see your doctor. Your doctor says, hey, this is too much for me to handle in the clinic. Let's get you to the hospital. And then your primary care doctor who knew you would follow you through the course of your hospitalization, get the consultants that you needed and the tests that you needed, and kind of navigate you through the process, you know. But now when people come to the hospital, there's no guide. And so, you know, most primary care doctors don't go to the hospital anymore, and there's some economic reasons why they don't do that. But they can't go to the hospital, so that now your care is deferred to another doctor, a hospitalist who you don't know.
Yeah.
So what makes things worse is that even the hospitalist, I mean, every day it's a new hospitalist. And so it's very frustrating as a patient because, you know, doctors naturally say things differently, and, you know, you get a different message from a different doctor or provider every day.
Yeah.
And so it's really confusing for most patients, first of all. That's the first thing, the first problem. You know, for me as a surgeon, too, you know, often when a patient comes in the hospital and is cared for by a hospitalist team, by the way, you're not really admitted by a doctor per se anymore. You're admitted by a hospital service. And it's a different thing. You know, there's that responsibility is shared between multiple doctors. So you really a lot of times don't know who that who is your doctor? That's always a good question.
And right.
Sometimes it's really difficult to know. But from my standpoint, looking at it as a surgeon who cares for people, you know, when they come in with a disease all the way through, it's very frustrating. It's like being a quarterback of a football team. And every play, there's somebody new coming into the huddle. You know, and you may have, I mean, you just don't know who you're working with. And, you know, there's no consistency with the healthcare team anymore. It's just, it's just a continuous changeover of people. And it makes it really hard to get good quality care for people. And also, not just the care, being able to communicate the message and the plan to the patients. And it's very frustrating for patients to be in that situation nowadays.
Yeah. Well, I totally understand that. I went through that for 7 years, Chuck, as you know, with my wife. My wife was, you know, critically ill for 7 years. And, she finally passed. And very difficult time for her, very difficult time for me. I found the communication within the medical community in where I live to be really, really lacking. I would ask questions. I would never get an answer. I would ask doctors to do something for me. They never did them. It just got worse and worse and worse. So I can really relate to what you're saying. Any comments on what I just said, Chris? Or, I'm sorry, Chuck?
Al, sometimes I can't remember my name either.
Yeah.
You know, I really think something's really, significant that stuck out. And, you know, what's even worse sometimes is not getting an answer that you need.
Right.
Getting two or three different answers.
Right.
And then you don't know who to believe. And that's one of the biggest problems now in the hospital is that everybody, there's an old saying, you talk to five different doctors, you get 10 different opinions. And
right.
When there's a plethora of doctors involved and everybody is communicating their little piece, but no one is the guide that's kind of putting it all together into a cohesive plan.
Right.
It's just a mess up from the patient's side. And it's also a mess up from the doctor's side, I think. I think we're doing doing the best we can as physicians,
mm-hmm.
in the circumstances that we're given.
Sure.
But, most physicians, it's one of those things, sometimes you see a physician one time and you never see him again.
Wow.
And so it's really hard for them, just taking it from the side of, you've asked the doctor to do this,
yeah.
He didn't do it. Sometimes they have just an overwhelming amount of patients to see, and they're never going to see again, so it's really not their responsibility to do that.
Right.
And so it's really hard. I mean, it's really hard because there's, there's no accountability in that standpoint. So we've got to change some things. I think one of the things that I would really like to see, and I'm not one of these guys that, think that the good old days were, perfect, because they weren't. There were still problems. But, having someone in the hospital who is your liaison and your guide through the process is just so important.
Yeah.
Somebody that you trust, somebody that you know. Often when you're in the hospital, you're in these circumstances, you just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And having someone that you trust and that you've developed a relationship with and a rapport over the years, that's invaluable when you get in those circumstances. And that's the importance of people getting a primary care doctor. And I would encourage everybody, if you don't have a primary care doctor, get a primary care doctor. And if you could get a primary care doctor that goes to the hospital, man, that is a jewel that, you need to hold on to and protect with all your life.
Yeah. Well, I can relate to that 1,000%, 1,000,000%. It's a lot of the problems that Kathy had. I mean, I'm not going to do anything from a legal standpoint, but I was very, very unhappy for some very specific reasons. And it's kind of, in my opinion, she's dead now, so you kind of let sleeping dogs lie and let them be comfortable. She's in heaven with the Lord, and that's the most important thing to me, Chuck. It really is. Chuck, I appreciate you saying what you said. I want you to talk briefly about your book, A Spoonful of Sugar. I wrote a recommendation for that book. Admittedly, it was a bit short, but it was very heartfelt. It's a book that I think everybody needs to read, because it talks about how to think and how to deal with life, your life. You want to talk about that book a little bit, Chuck?
Well, Al, it's funny. We all face difficult circumstances. Like we've been talking about, going into the hospital, we all face these life challenges, and few people ever think about how to manage those and why they need to manage them. And so what the book talks about is these different levels of thinking. And it defines it, kind of in as formulas or equations that kind of help us wrap our minds around how we respond in our circumstances. And, you know, and so there's a lot of people that respond as victims. And some people, you know, other people, they kind of have the hero mentality. Other people have a zero mentality where they feel like that their responses are just, you know, fall short. And so there's all these different, ways of responding. And so just kind of thinking about how you process your life events is what this book is about. Now, the ultimate level, I add, you know, a supernatural factor of grace into the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Talks about how that empowers us,
yeah,
gives us a whole nother set of tools that are greater than ourselves to be able to manage, you know, life's tough experiences.
Yeah.
So that's what the book's about, you know. And I, you know, just like with medicine, I'm going through a, you know, if, as a doctor, you know, we haven't talked about the doctor side of it, but just as patients are frustrated with the healthcare system, many doctors are experiencing burnout, and
yeah,
just they're sick of it because, you know, most doctors really go into medicine to help people and to, you know, to have relationships with people and to do the right thing and to help people. And the system is seems almost like working against everything that they went to medical school for. So, you know, how do we handle that circumstance? You know, how do we respond to that circumstance? We can, as a physician, I can see myself as a victim, or I can see myself as a zero and feel like nothing I do will help.
Yeah.
And that's the great thing about bringing grace into the equation. Realize that there's a greater dynamic at work in my circumstances if I just cooperate.
Yeah. Well, by grace, you mean communication from God, of course.
Yeah, so, I mean, it is a Christian, you know, faith-based book. And, of course, you know, what grace really is, and many people don't understand this, grace is God doing for us what we can't do for ourselves.
Right.
You know, and so, I mean, so many people think that, you know, religion is based on some type of performance, that we have to perform to be accepted. And, you know, I'm not minimizing our responses, but what grace is and what makes grace so unique in every other worldview, every other religion, it says that, you know, really, based upon what God has done for us, based upon the completed work of Christ, we're accepted already, but we have to accept our acceptance, you know? So our performance flows out of this approval that we already have. And so think about how that changes the whole dynamic of your life, knowing that, you know, even when you mess up, that God is going to be there to help you.
Yeah.
Because it's a relational factor that's working in our lives. So I think that's what really makes the difference for me. And that's what the book's about.
Well, I'm looking forward to talking about this book as we continue on down the road. Chuck, thank you so much for taking some time. Ladies and gentlemen, interesting comments about the medical system and some very interesting comments about this book, which I want to say I have read. It's a great book. Chuck, thanks, bud.
You bet, Al.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics. We will be back in a moment.